This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. What incredible truth in that song. You're the source of my strength. You're the strength of my life. Bless God. Greetings to all of our visitors here this morning, and as Pastor Neil has already said, I hope you'll avail yourself of the time of fellowship prepared for you after the service this morning. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, Pastor Neil is going to be speaking a message called Overcoming the Whispers of the Devil. And then tonight, Pastor Teresa will be speaking an evangelistic message, putting her back to work after the wedding. Good to have you back in the pulpit again. It'll be a great day. You can tell from the worship this morning, it's going to be a great day in the house of the Lord today. Psalm 116, please, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. Taking the cup and calling on Jesus. Bless God. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God Almighty. You have something so profound in your heart and mind this morning. You're going to do something so powerful among the people that are here today all day. God, thank you for what you're doing. I pray you give me and my frailty the ability to deliver this and to know your heart, to be animated by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give it all to you in entirety. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take it, multiply it, feed every life. There's as many situations in this church as there are people gathered. You've got to speak to all of them, Holy Spirit. I can't. You have to. I'm asking you, Lord, to multiply this. God, help me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Psalm 116, taking the cup and calling on Jesus. Verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Taking the cup and calling on Jesus. Now this psalmist, Psalm 116, had been through a season of terrible affliction. Verse 3 says, the sorrows of death compassed me. Now, we don't know what the circumstance was. I do know that in this generation, there are many, many people that are going through sorrow. Many families have grave and difficult situations. Some people in their own bodies, and some even more terribly in family members very close to them. No matter what had happened, the psalmist wrote it down for us to read it and to learn something today. And he said, the pains of hell got hold upon me. There's something so deep and so dark, it can only be described as a feeling of a loss that cannot be retrieved. He talks about the pains of hell. It's a darkness. It's something that came my way and took me down so low that I didn't know if I would ever be able to get out. And I found trouble and sorrow. So much so in verse 10 and 11 that he began to believe that everything and everyone was a lie and a liar. He said, I was greatly afflicted in verse 10, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. It's the type of a person who maybe has sat in the house of God or maybe has been exposed to some Christian teaching and finally comes to the point because of difficulty of saying, I don't believe it. Now, how could people have spoken to me about the goodness of God, and yet this situation has been allowed to come into my life? Have you ever said that? I don't believe it. They told me about this goodness, and now this has come to my life. But yet in verses 12 and 13, there seems to have been an incredible understanding that comes into his heart. He says, all of a sudden, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The psalmist all of a sudden says, God has been good to me. I will take the cup of this saving relationship into which he has called me. I'll drink of the full meaning of it, and I'll call on his name for strength and faith to believe and see that God has a purpose in all things. The psalmist all of a sudden is a change of heart. Now, go to Psalm 27, please. Go back in your Bible with me, if you will. This is a psalm written by King David, and who had gone through these times. These times of darkness and loss and a sorrow so deep, a disappointment so profound that you can hardly put it into words. And in Psalm 27, verse 12, he says, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I believe that Pastor Neil is going to speak on this afternoon. It's not a coincidence that God is going to be speaking the same message throughout the day. What he's saying in verse 12 is that cruel inner voices have risen against me, not necessarily exterior, but interior voices. There's these whisperings of the devil, as it is, that have come against me because I'm in this difficult place. And David says in verse 13, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If I had not believed, he says, that I would see the goodness of the Lord right here where I am and where I'm living, I would have lost all conscious hope. I'm in that dark of a place. But David knew and had experienced and had lived long enough to understand that there's a season and a purpose to everything that God allows into our lives. And in the last verse of this psalm, he gives us an incredible word from a man who's already gone through what you and I might be going through from time to time. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In other words, don't give up your hope. Don't cast away your confidence because of this difficult season in your life. David had gone through so much, and at the end of his journey, he could say, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, actually verse 11, Paul says, I'm called to be an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher of the word of God. And then verse 12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. In other words, Paul said, I'm not triumphed over. That's what that word actually means. Paul said, I suffer because God has called me to something. And he said, I'm not triumphed over, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There is something that comes into the heart of those who make a choice to trust God in the midst of inexplicable circumstances. You come out the other side with a spiritual authority that is not found in the mouth or heart of those who've never had to trust God, when all that's left is the trust that you have in your heart for God. When there's nothing else to lean on, there's nowhere else to go. As the psalmist David said, I looked to my left and to my right, and refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. When there's a time and a season that comes into our life, you come out the other side and you say, I know whom I have believed. And I'm now persuaded that he's able to keep that. You say, I've given him my heart. I've given him my life. I've given him my future. I've given him my all. I've given him my family. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've put into his hand. Did not Jesus say, you're sealed in the hand of the Father, and no one can take you out of his hand? Hebrews 12:1, the writer of Hebrews says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now think for a moment of all the witnesses in heaven today. Witnesses who have stood where you're standing today or where you will be standing perhaps in the future. Witnesses who discovered either in time or in eternity that there was a divine purpose in all they had to go through. Folks, now either all things work together for good or they don't. There are certain words of God that have got to be settled in our hearts. We either believe that there is a purpose. Even if God has allowed enemies to come against us, there is still a purpose because God has allowed it. And it is to work something within us. Think of Moses. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, I'll just paraphrase what he said. He said, Lord, you haven't delivered your people at all. Since I've come here, things have just gotten worse for everybody. I don't know why I obeyed you and I came to this place in the first place. The words of Moses, the great deliverer, had to go through this dark season as it is, a momentary darkness of the soul where he doesn't see the purposes of God. He doesn't see a hand of victory. He sees things just getting worse. You called me. You gave me this incredible promise, and now it just seems to be getting worse than it ever was, not only for me, but for the people. Think of Joshua in Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 to 9, after the momentary defeat at a little city called Ai. He says, Lord, why have you brought us here over Jordan just to let our enemies destroy us? What do I say to people as we're running from our enemies? What will this mean to the promises that you've made to us and to your great name? Joshua, this great military commander, schooled under Moses, now going through this same moment of darkness in the soul, not understanding the purposes of God, not seeing there's a hidden purpose to this defeat that he's experiencing at this particular moment. Think of Job in chapter 29 and 30 of Job. Let me paraphrase what Job said. I was doing good as best as I knew how, and yet God set his hand against me. Chapter 30, verse 19, he says, he has cast me into the mire, and I'm become like dust and ashes. He has cast me. Job came to the point, he was not willing to say that God was evil or curse God, but he had come to the point of saying, I don't know why God has done this to me, but he set his hand against me. I was helping the widow and I was feeding the poor and I was walking as I know in righteousness, but now all of a sudden God came and took me and cast me into the mire, and he took away all my strength and my hope and my joy is gone. I have hardly any light left in my eye. But listen, what would Job say today? Whoa, if he were able to get a microphone in heaven's balcony this morning. Oh, how wrong I was. How could I have known that the devil told God he could get me to curse God to his face? And God looked at him and said, Satan, you cannot get this man to curse me to my face. How could I have known that the battle I was in was a challenge to the very integrity of the Word of God? You see, the devil's argument in the minds of so many is based on an incomplete understanding of what it means to drink of the cup of salvation. It's not a full understanding, and that's why the devil can get into so many people's minds, even in the body of Jesus Christ, because they've come, as it is, to the table of the Lord. They've picked up this cup of salvation. And if you'll turn with me in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 26, I think we might be able to see this point a little bit better. In Matthew chapter 26, people come and they take the cup, and many who want to follow Jesus don't want to go the full distance of what it means to take this cup of salvation. Verse 26 in chapter 26 of Matthew, the scripture says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, verse 27, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Now, many, many, many people want to take the cup of salvation and they want to drink of it, but they don't want to drink all of it. They want to drink of salvation. Thank God for salvation. They want to drink of this cup that Christ paid the price for on Calvary, and they want to say, I'm free from my sin, I'm free from the penalty of sin, I'm free from the power of sin, I'm free from the damnation of sin, I'm saved, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they just say, okay, that's enough, take the cup and just put it back on the table. That's fine, let me just stay here now. I just love to be saved. Don't bother me with the mission field or anything deeper. I like it here. And that's all I want to drink from the cup. And there's others. In verse 29, he says, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, Jesus is speaking about a newness of fellowship. And there are many people not only want to be saved, but it's so exciting to come into a new family. It's so exciting to be part of the body of Christ, to have brothers and sisters who truly are of every race and every color and every creed, every kindred. And it's an amazing thing to come into this body of Christ and begin to experience the supernatural love for one another that can't be found anywhere else but in the true church of Jesus Christ. And many want to drink of salvation. They want to drink of the newness of this fellowship. And some go even deeper, and they want to drink for future authority and present power. Remember James and John, they brought their mother along for reinforcement. They came to Jesus and said, we want to sit in when you get to your kingdom, one of us on the right hand and one of us wants to sit on the left hand. And Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? And they said, oh, yes, we can drink the cup of authority. Yes, we can. We'll be good rulers. We like to rule and reign. We'll be real good at this when we get up there. We'll tell this one to go there and that one to do that. And we can drink that cup. And they want to drink of the cup of present power. Do you remember when the disciples were sent out and they came back and they said, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. And people like this, like salvation. We like newness of fellowship. We like the idea of future authority, ruling and reigning with Christ. We like present power as it is, over darkness and over the devil and over the works of the devil. We like to go to prayer meetings and bind the devil and do all these kinds of things. And these are good things, folks. I'm not making light of them. We want to drink of the cup of healing, of all the former wounds and marks of sin and the time of separation from God. And that's the way it should be. There is a cup of healing. As we drink of this cup of salvation, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, there's healing from the bruises that we have experienced in the past, the things that have come and captivated our minds, the marks, as it is, of sin and unbelief, when we walked in places where we didn't know Christ in a saving relationship. Like when a new person buys a house, one of the first things you do, or you rent a new apartment, is typically go in and they sand the floor. And there's marks in the floor from the previous occupiers. So they come in with a sander. Some of you have done this, or maybe the superintendent of your building has done it for you. But come in with a sander and sand down the floor and get rid of all the marks of whoever lived there before. That's what God does. And you get some compound, drywall compound, and there's places where pictures have been hung. There have been holes in the wall and dents in the drywall, and you fill all of those and sand them nice and smooth, and you get rid of those marks. And you see, when Christ comes in, that's what he does. He gets rid of those former marks. He gets rid of the bruisings. He gets rid of the words that put holes in your character and places where people walk through your life and damaged, as it is, this temple. And the Lord comes in, and thank God, what a wonderful job he does. He just sands everything out and re-varnishes and changes it all. And it looks so new. It's so wonderful because there's a new owner. But you see, the cup of fellowship with Jesus leads to some new marks. You see, a new owner will leave new marks. I'm going to say that again. A new owner will leave new marks. But they're different this time. God says, I don't want to take these away. There will be marks that come into the temple. Marks that are a result of fellowship with Christ. And God says, no, these are going to stay. I'm not going to take these ones away. These are going to be part of this temple where I dwell. How do I explain this? The best way is to give you some practical examples. Recently, I was sitting at my desk in my apartment, and I looked down on the floor beside my desk, and my daughter Kate now she's married, and she has her own apartment, and she and Ben are obviously have moved there. And I looked down on the floor beside my desk, and she would insist on wearing this pair of high heels that I would always ask her not to wear because the heels were worn off. And you know, the little silver nails come through the bottom. A lot of you ladies know what I'm talking about. And these nails made everywhere they went, they left a trail. They my incredible dents in the floor. And in front of the mirror beside my desk, there's got to be 50 to 100 of these little dents in the floor. And I looked down the other day, and I guess I'm getting older and more sentimental, but I don't want to fix it. I would sit at my desk, and she would stand in front of the mirror getting ready and talk away, and I would pretend like I was listening to every word. But you see, those are the marks of a father's love. You see, God says, I love you with an everlasting love. You wear the wrong shoes once in a while, and you do things you shouldn't do. But those marks remind you and me that we are loved with an everlasting love. Praise God with everything in my heart. God will not leave us. He will not forsake us because we've done some wrong things and we've walked in a wrong way. And there are marks that we will bear. When you put on the wrong shoes and you go to the wrong place, you're going to bear some marks. But those marks will be left, some of them, to remind you and to remind me that we are loved with an everlasting love. God doesn't require in us perfection, just an honest heart that wants to dwell where He dwells. I have a summer home where Teresa's mother and father used to live, and now some other members of our family are living there now. We like to get away once in a while and visit there and spend some time. And about a year ago, we went up there, Teresa and I, and Pastor William and Tracy came with us. And we were standing in the kitchen. The kitchen has a ceramic floor. And Teresa had found an antique iron. It's got to be probably 100 years old at a yard sale. And she was showing it to everybody, and she handed it to Pastor William. And he dropped it. And when he dropped it, it made took a big chip out of the ceramic floor, about a circle of a half inch or an inch. And I was looking at that over the Christmas holidays, sitting in my chair. And I thought, I don't want to fix that. Because every time I look at it, I remember Pastor William standing there. Now, you see, the marks that are left in the temple, in the house, on you and me, I don't want just a generic memory of people that have been close to me. This is a specific memory. If I get to be old and Pastor William is used in the manner that I think that God's going to use him, it'll be awesome for me one day, if anybody will listen to me, to say, you know, on that spot, right there, Pastor William and I stood together and iron sharpened iron, right on that spot. It's the bond of unity, folks. There are marks that have to be made for us to be unified. And there are woundings that have to be endured. There are things that will happen, but there's a bond of unity that's above all of these things, and some of the woundings are left as a reminder that we are in unity with Christ, and Christ will never forsake us. I have another rather large hole in the wall in my home, and it holds a picture, quite a large picture, actually. And it's a picture that has created a different kind of mark in my house. On the canvas are marks of a brush, and the picture was painted by Pastor Neil. And every time I look at it, I am stunned at the miraculous power of God. A man who at 50 years of age didn't know he could do this is painting masterpieces today. And each canvas comes out deeper and richer and fuller. And I look at the marks on that canvas. Now, those marks didn't come easy. There's a story behind this. And there's been a lot of sorrow. And there's been misunderstandings of God, even, as in all of us. This journey, but the end of the journey has been shown that God can put a brush in that kind of a person's hand and paint something in that house that reminds me that I'm never to lose faith for tomorrow. No matter what circumstance comes into my life, I serve a God who's the God of the miraculous. And tomorrow will always be different than today. There'll be something deeper of Christ. There'd be something more precious of Christ. And I'm reminded that this gifting, Pastor Neil, God gave you, didn't come easy. There's been a long journey before you were able to touch a canvas with that touch of God on it. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear them in my body. Christ Paul's saying, came into this temple. And I didn't stop drinking from the cup of salvation. I heard him say, drink all of it. And I began to drink of it, and I didn't pull back from this cup. And because of it, I bear in my body these marks. And Paul had spiritual marks, there's no doubt, but he had a lot of physical marks on his body too from the things that he suffered for drinking this cup of salvation. There are those who can say that as Christ said, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I want to tell you something. Everyone who's named by the name of Christ, if you are going to put the cup of salvation to your lips, you are going to, this will be where your journey takes you. You come to a place and say, if it's possible, God, I really don't want to go through this. If it's possible to do this another way. But if it isn't possible, if this is what I must bear in my body, if this is what you must do, if this is what you must allow into my life, if this is where the course of my feet is going to take me, not my will, but thine be done. That's when we take the cup and we drink it down, folks. The whole cup. And it's at a place where we can't do anything but take the cup and call out to Jesus, because you don't have the strength, I don't have the strength, and Christ himself needed the strength of the Holy Spirit to finish his journey. Blessed be God. Oh, folks, if we can get this truth into us, if we could understand this, if we can put aside this light cup of fellowship that so many have had with Christ for so long. Folks, if we're going to be a people who make a difference in this generation ahead of us now, we have to lift the cup up to the final bits in it. We have got to pray now. Lord, you've got to help me, not play the game in the workplace. You've got to help me, God. If you've got to help me to stay together for my children's sake, you've got to help me, God. You've got to get me through this trial. You've got to take away this thing in my life. Lord, you've got to give me the courage to walk this part of the journey. Lord, I would rather not do this. But Lord, I want fellowship with you. I'd rather get to the end of this journey and say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, than to have a smooth home and a smooth floor and a smooth wall. And you haven't been there. You haven't dwelt with me. We haven't walked together. How precious do you think the marks in Paul were to Christ? How precious were those marks on his body? The times he took the lashes, the times he was left for dead, the things that happened to him. Think about this. Now, this is only conjecture on my part, so please receive it as such. But through eternity, think about Jesus and Paul having fellowship, and Jesus turning to Paul saying, hey, these scars right here, Paul. You remember when we walked together through Laconia? You remember when the people with their contrary arguments and violence thought they had killed you? You remember, Paul, when they stoned you and left you for dead? But you never lost your confidence in me, Paul. And I raised you up, even though you were wounded, I raised you up and we went on, and your trust in me grew to the end when you could say, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him. Oh, folks, you don't know this until you've put the cup to your lips and you've walked with God. I'm sure those who were around Paul, there were those around Paul, the scripture says, who said, I've had enough of this. I'm not drinking this cup. I didn't sign up for this kind of a walk with God. And they left. In one part of his writings, he said, everyone has left me. Even Demas has left me, loving this present world. But you see, you don't find any of them saying, I know whom I have believed. Folks, you don't know this keeping power of God until, as the psalmist in Psalm 116, we've gone down to the depths and found out that even if I make my bed in the lowest hell, David said, thou art there, and even there your hand will guide me. Even there you will pick me up and give me strength. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Beloved, don't throw away your confidence in God. Going through this season you might be going through right now, going through hard times with your family, with your children, going through difficulty in your own mind or your own body or your own environment, don't cast away your confidence in God. There's a great reward if you will trust him. Then you say to me, well, then what do I do? And here it is, Psalm 116, verse 13, right where we started. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the only one that can get me through this. You're the only one that can help me to understand why I'm going through it. God Almighty, you will not fail me. You'll not forsake me. Lord, there's a reason. And God, if the only reason is that after I go through it, I can call 1,000 behind me and tell them, hey, you can make it too, then that's good enough. That's what Paul did. Paul said, the things you've seen in my life, have God has allowed them in me and through me to further your faith, to show you, in a sense. And I'm paraphrasing for Paul, but in a sense, Paul was saying to show you that the same Christ who saved you will not forsake you or fail you. That he will bring you through flood, he will bring you through fire, he'll bring you through scandal, he'll bring you through false accusation, he'll bring you through beatings, he'll bring you through blasphemous reports against you, he'll bring you through all of these things. And at the end, you'll be able to say, I've run and I've finished and there's laid up for me from this day forward a crown of righteousness. God has been with me. I've walked with Christ. There were so many people that were challenging Paul's authority and his apostleship. And all that Paul, at the end of his days, had to say to them, don't bother me anymore. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've walked with him. He's lived in this house. His footprints are on the floor of my house. His pictures are on my wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if there's any damage inside here, we have been there together in fellowship. I'd rather have the damage, Paul says, than I've lost the fellowship. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. The Lord will not forsake you. He will not forsake you. You will not be triumphed over by the powers of darkness. Your circumstance will not swallow you. You will not be abandoned by God. You do not have to believe the lies of the evil one. Remember the psalmist said, I was greatly afflicted and I said in my haste, all men are liars. Even to the point of accusing God. Jeremiah, remember when he got into despair, he says, Lord, you've deceived me in a sense. You gave me this plan. You told me what was going to happen. And now I seem to have only distress and trouble and prison. That seems to be all that's in my life. I said in my haste, all men are liars. But then he said, what shall I render now to the Lord for his benefits toward me? This is the psalm of a man who's come through these dark times. And he's looked back now and he says, oh God, I see now what you were doing. I understand what you were forming in my life. What shall I give back to you for the things that you've done for me? He said, I know what I can do. I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon your name. I'll go to the impossible places. I'll go where only you can take me. I will become what only you can make me. I will take this cup and I will not shrink back, O God. I will drink whatever you give me and call upon your name that you might be glorified in this. Because you're the only one that will be able to take me through. And when I get to the end, sure, there's going to be all kinds of dents and bumps and scars. But they've come because I've walked with you, not apart from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It will be worth it all, folks. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Hallelujah. One day we're going to be there. Blessed God, he will not have failed us. He will not have forsaken us. Have you ever thought that sometimes the things that come into your life are put there by God because it's the only way he can speak to somebody that's around you? It's the only way, the only Bible that your coworker or your neighbor's ever going to read. They're watching you go through something. And if you choose to believe God, they're going to see you go through it in supernatural strength. And be forced to admit, be forced to acknowledge there is a God who does sit at the right hand of all authority and all power. Have you ever considered the value of a soul? So much so that God would not spare his only son. And yet we want to take the same cup and we want to be spared all trial and all difficulty and all tribulation. One of the greatest errors in the Christian church in our generation is the teaching that the Christian life does not bring any sorrow with it. And no hardship and no heartache and no difficulty. It's a tragedy. It's a very shallow cup, folks. It really truly brings no glory to Jesus Christ. I will take the cup. By God's grace, I'll drink it to the bottom and call upon the name of the Lord, because I know I can't do this in my own strength. I know only God can do this. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Bless the name of Jesus. I want to tell you that that husband or wife that God gave you, God gave you that husband or wife. That child that God gave you, God gave you that child, and it gave you that child for a reason. Bless the name of Christ. I will take the cup and drink it and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh God, you've got to help us not to cast away our confidence in you, Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Whether I have a job or don't have a job, whether you have one or don't have one tomorrow, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I'll not cast away my confidence in God. Lord, you will keep me. You will sustain me. I will live to see your promises fulfilled and live to see glory brought to your name in this generation. Blessed be the name of Christ. Hallelujah. I have an altar call today, and it's very, very simple. It's for those that this message is speaking to you, that you are going through almost inunderstandable darkness and sorrow. And the Lord's saying, I'm not going to make it better, but I'm going to take you through. If you will ask me, I'll take you through. But you may not even see, as Job, you may not even see the reason till later on. But I'll bring you through. And if you don't lose your confidence in me, you will know the great blessing that only God can bring into your life. I will take the cup. I'll take the cup. I'll drink the cup. I'll rejoice in salvation. I'll rejoice in fellowship. I'll rejoice in power. I'll rejoice in all these things. But I will not run from the marks in this temple that fellowship with Christ may bring to me. Hallelujah. As we stand, if in the balcony the Lord is speaking to you, or in the main sanctuary, in the annex, you can stand between the screens. Here in the main sanctuary, make your way to this altar. We're going to worship for a few moments, and then we'll pray together. Let's all stand, and those that God is speaking to, just make your way. Praise God, praise God. I don't remember what that last choir song was, Greg, but if we could prepare to sing it again, just before the one, just before I got up to speak. I will take the cup, and I will call out to him. I'll not live my life trying to escape hardship or difficulty. I will take the cup, and I will call out to him. That's what I can render to him for what he's done for me. And I'll walk through in the strength of God. And when we get to the other side, what fellowship we'll have as God takes me on a tour through every mark in the house and said, do you remember this one? And do you remember that one? And do you remember how we fellowshipped here and how we laughed there? And remember how we cried here? Praise God. It's precious to the Lord. You've got to see that it's precious to him. Every time you choose to trust him, I'll take the cup and I'll call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, God Almighty, for these that have gathered at this house and this altar today, Lord, have made a choice in their heart, Lord, to take the cup of this salvation and everywhere it leads us, and to drink it, O God, and to call upon your name and say, Lord, be glorified in this. Lord, be understood in this. Be loved through this. God, if nothing else, I know in my heart that this is something between you and I, Lord, that you will take me through. Lord, we'll talk about it one day for all of eternity. I will declare your faithfulness and you will declare your love for me, O God. I thank you, Lord, for this with all my heart. I give you praise and honor and glory. Now lift your hands, will you, to the Lord and just call out to him. Don't be ashamed. Just call out to him. Ask him for the strength that you need. Mighty God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. While this song is being sung, you call out to the Lord now. Everyone here who needs strength, he'll not forsake you. He'll not fail you. Remind him of his promises to you.
This is the conclusion of the message.